Let's now look at John chapter 14, beginning with verse 7, reading through verse 14. John 14, as you remember, is the last discourse of Christ, chapters 14 through 17, spoken in the upper room to his disciples. It is, as it were, the inner sanctum, the inner sanctuary, where we see Christ, our Lord, sharing with those who mean the most to him, or at least those who were devoted to him during his lifetime. Beginning with verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have also known my Father. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have a God whom we may call Father. And as we open this portion of Scripture tonight, we pray that the Spirit of God would indeed be our teacher and preacher, that we may be instructed in the truth and grow thereby. We pray, Lord, that we would learn the mystery of this great promise in Scripture. How is it that we can do greater works than even Jesus Christ? For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. "Most assuredly, I say to you," Jesus said, "he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." The passage before us easily divides itself into two main sections, verses 7 through 11, which have to do with Christ's revelation of the Father through his own words and works. And then the second section, beginning in verse 12, going through verse 14, has to do with Christ's promises to believers about their works and their request. So the passage actually does hang together, even though it looks as if we have two completely different lines of thought. The thread that ties the two portions together is the thought about words and works. In the first place, we see how Christ reveals the words and the works of God. In the second place, we see how Christ has offered to us the power to do even greater works, and so speak greater words than even Jesus himself. What is, in the first passage, what is the relation between knowing the Son and knowing the Father in verse 7? Jesus said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." The first thing that we can say about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, even while Jesus was on earth, is that there was an interdependence of the two. flip back a few chapters to John 8 and verse 19, which reads, "Then they said to him, 'Where is your Father?' Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my Father.'" He's talking to the Pharisees. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." What Jesus is saying in this first, in that verse, as well as in the first part of verse 7 in John 14, is that there is an interdependence between the Father and the Son, that there is a mutuality between the two and not an exclusiveness in the two. Yet, even at that, if you look at that passage, go back to chapter 8 again, verse 19, I want to read it, and then I want to read John 14:7, and see if you can detect a difference in these passages. "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered them, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father." Back to John 14:7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him." Did you see the difference? In the first case, Jesus said that you do not know him at all. And in the second case, he said to his disciples, you do know him, even though you know him imperfectly. And you're going to know him even better. You're going to know God even better, the Father, and you're going to know me even better, the Son, because he promised when he went to heaven. Look in verse 15. In verses 15 through 18, Jesus said that he is going to send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit will teach us about God himself. So that what he says in essence at the end of verse 7 is that not only is there interdependence, and even though we know him, it is imperfect, he says finally at the end that there will be improvement in our knowledge. Now the Son reveals the Father. That is what the passage says to us. Notice firstly, in verse 8, where Philip is speaking, and it says, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us.'" There was another person in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who asked for a revelation of God. Here we have a man in the New Testament who is standing face to face with Jesus Christ, and he says, "I want more." Now, most of us would say, if we could see Jesus Christ face to face, then that would be enough for us, and that would carry us through. But another man in the Old Testament said the same thing. In Exodus 33, beginning in verse 18, Moses is speaking, and Moses says to God, "Please show me your glory." He is asking to see, as it were, the face of God. God said, "You can't see my face, because if you look on me, you're going to die." The reason for that is you are sinners, and I am a sinner, and Moses is a sinner, and we cannot look on the brightness of the glory of God and live. Because he dwells in sheer perfect light and perfection, and to look upon God is to die. But God said to Moses, "I'm going to hide you in the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and as I pass by, you can look and you can see my back as I go by." Philip desired to see the Father. Notice the declaration of Christ in verse 7. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip?" Then the declaration, He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Could a glorious display of the beauty and the glory of God convince any man of the reality of the gospel? Could a glorious display of the beauty and the glory of God convince any man of the gospel? What Jesus is leading us to conclude and making us aware of in this passage is that the ones who expect the great miracles and the extraordinary events in order to add confirmation to their faith will never have it, you see. Because everything is incomplete and could never convince anyone of the truth of God except a person who reveals that God. Do you remember when Dives, the rich man, and Lazarus died? You remember Lazarus was at the gate of the rich man, his name is Dives, and Lazarus, the poor man, sitting in his rags, the beggar, the dogs would come along and lick his wounds, and he would beg for money as people walked by. He died and he went into the bosom of Abraham, that is, into heaven. And the rich man, Dives, died and he went to hell. And the rich man looked up and he saw the poor man Lazarus in heaven. And he said, "Oh, please send somebody back and tell them how awful this place is. Send Lazarus, let him dip his finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames. Let somebody go back and tell my brothers." You remember what Jesus told him? Jesus said, "Even if somebody came back from the dead, they would not believe." Why? Because Jesus adds, "If they did not believe my words, they will not believe." So don't look for miracles. Don't look for an extraordinary display of the beauty and the glory of God in an extraordinary, exceptional manner in order to convince you of the truth of Christianity or of the power of God or the reality of Jesus Christ. Jesus has given to each of us all that he's going to give, all that he promises. What did he promise? He promised you his word. He said, "Believe me," and that's enough. You see, the problem is your faith if we do not accept the words of Jesus. Jesus declares essentially that in this verse, he says that the Father indwells the Son, and that they essentially are two. The manner of it is a mystery. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory." But he says in that passage, it is a mystery. We do not understand precisely how God and man can be one in human flesh, and yet he was 100% God, 100% man in the one person of Jesus Christ. It is a mystery how they could dwell within each other. But that's what exactly happened. And that's what Jesus said in verse 11. He said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. If somehow I could enter into your body, and so that when you walked around and you talked and you acted, and that it would actually be the personality of Langston Haygood that answered and that talked, whom would people really know? Would they know you? They would know Langston Haygood. Because I would be the one who would be manifesting myself. In the same way, the Father indwells the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in His body, what we get to see and to know is God the Father Himself. So when the child asks us sometimes, Mother, Dad, what does God look like? One answer that we might give is, well, sweetheart, God is invisible and we don't know what He looks like. According to the passage that we just studied here, how could we answer that question? Think about it. Let's move on quickly to the second part of this passage. Christ promises to believers about their works and request in verse 12. He says in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. I think that that is one of the most extraordinary passages and promises in all the Bible. I ask you, how in heaven's name can you do greater works than Jesus Christ? Now, there are people in insane asylums who think they are Jesus Christ. They think they can walk on water. But Jesus Christ Himself said that you, notice to whom He makes the promise, not the disciples, merely, verse 12, He says, he who believes in me. Now, what is He speaking of? I believe J.C. Ryle, a great commentator of another century, is right when he suggests what Jesus is talking about is not the physical miracle, but He is talking about the spiritual miracle of being able to preach and to teach and to lead someone to a conversion experience. Because the greatest work any of you or I can do, the greatest work, true, we glorify God by it. The greatest work is not making $1 million, not painting the Mona Lisa, not playing Bach and Beethoven. The greatest work is the miracle of the new birth. And Jesus said, you and you and you and I can do something greater. We can see a soul born out of the darkness of sin into the marvelous light of the gospel. And that is a greater work. Isn't that fantastic? And yet He goes on to point out how this will be accomplished in verse 12. He will, because I go to my Father, Jesus said. You see, Jesus is going to the Father, therefore, in Matthew 28, He said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And as a result of this power, Jesus said, I'm going to enable you to have the ability to do greater works than even I have done. You're going to receive power. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, and it is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, His life in you, that you will be able to do greater works than these. How did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And I'm abbreviating the message tonight, if you haven't already concluded that. How did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? Did you notice in that passage of the raising of Lazarus how Jesus thanked God that God had heard him? In other words, Jesus prayed, God, I know that it is by your power and your strength that Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. The miracle was performed not because Jesus was depending upon himself, but because he looked to the Father. Now that is the pattern for all of our lives, that the miracles of spiritual power come not because you look and depend upon yourself, but because you pray to the Father and you ask according to his will, and he gives you that extraordinary power and strength. I do not know of a preacher or a Christian worker, for that matter, who is not surprised that God has chosen him and uses him for God's work. It is an utter surprise to all of us, because we know what we are, and it is a shock. But I trust it is no less a shock to you that the same promise which Jesus has given to his disciples, he gives to you and me. And the promise is, truly, truly, I say to you that he who believes me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. It is not by your power and strength that anything good comes out of your life. If you think so, you're on the wrong track. When Hudson Taylor, the great pioneer missionary, was interviewed one time, he had accomplished a great work for God, and it was extraordinary, the great work he did do translating the Bible into several languages. Even though he lost his family, he impacted Asia for Christ in a way that it was beyond anyone's imagination. This one man, and his interviewer asked him, they said, Mr. Taylor, I imagine that you are proud, or that you have a reason to be tempted to be proud of everything and what you've done. Aren't you proud of it? And Hudson Taylor replied, proud of what? Proud of what? As the hymn says, not I, but Christ, be known, be seen, and be heard. May that be the prayer of every one of us here as we go into this week and seek to live for him. Will you pray that with me? Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, and you ask God to seal to your hearts the benefits of his word preached and learned and today through worship and music, and then I'll close in prayer.